This morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we welcome those that are joining us via the internet. We appreciate them tuning in. And as always, it's our hope and desire that the message will be a blessing and a help to people as they tune in. We get emails almost weekly and contacts from people that not only watch live, but watch the delayed broadcast on the internet. And we're very thankful for the opportunity of putting those out. Also, I want you to be praying about something. I was contacted by someone this week about our TV program being aired on channel 12 or 13 on cable, I guess it is, CBS channel. And we can get on there much more reasonable than used to. First time I ever contacted them, it was $250 a week for our 30-minute program. And now they're extending two churches for $500 a month. You can be on every week on CBS. And so that would be a great opportunity, and we're going to be looking into that in the near future. And hopefully we'll be able to expand our TV broadcast to that if the timing works out and so forth. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to begin reading there in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, 16, and I want to talk to you today about the race that we run. In 1 Corinthians 9, 16, Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." You remember Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So he says, "For though even though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." If you look down in verse 23, Paul says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now we'll deal with the last verse there as we go through the message, but let me just say at the outset, Paul is not talking about in any way losing his salvation. The whole passage has to do with a reward, with a crown, if you will, and he uses the analogy of those that run a race. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." The Olympics started this past week, and no doubt there are millions and millions of people that will tune in and watch the Olympics as they go on for the next week or two. And most of our great deal of Olympics are about races. I was watching last night the delayed broadcast of the 400-meter freestyle swimming, where they had to do one lap, or they did do 100 meters of breaststroke and crawl and backstroke and butterfly and so forth. And the conditioning of these athletes and the work that they put in is just phenomenal. And I couldn't help but think while I was watching that about the things that Paul says about us and the race that we run and the warfare that we find ourselves to be a part of. There's no doubt that Paul uses this analogy in Corinthians because there at Corinth, the athletic competition was very important. If you look over in 2 Timothy, as he wrote to Timothy, he also mentions some things about the warfare that we're in. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So, in that instance, he relates our ministry to that of battle or warfare. And, of course, in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives us the armor for the warfare. He says, having done all to stand therefore, having on the being equipped with all the armor of God there. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, there's the athletic competition, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, this would be the farmer, the one that grows the crops and so forth, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So there's a lot of analogies in the Word of God that draw mental pictures, as we read back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Running a race. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, but one receiveth the prize. Now when we think about the prize, we think about rewards. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, he says to the church there at Corinth, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now today, most of the confusion about salvation revolves around the fact that people confuse works and our rewards as in contrast to our eternal security that we have in Christ. In other words, we don't work, we don't do anything in order to be saved except trust Christ as our Savior. But the Bible says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works have nothing to do with us getting saved or remaining saved. But many times people stop there and they put no emphasis all upon the good works that God instructed us to do. And it is those works, it's the work that we do that not determines our salvation, but will determine our reward. And so as we run this race of the ministry, run this race that has been set before us, there are several things that we need to be aware of. Number one, everybody needs to participate in the race. You know, it's not, and I know sometimes I sent out a thing this week on Facebook that about 10 things that were benefit of being over 50 or 60. And, you know, a lot of them had to do with not much is expected of you and that kind of thing. Well, you know, it's hard for me to envision running a race. Matter of fact, it's hard to envision myself running anywhere, except maybe to the kitchen. I might break into a trot then. But you know, when I was young, I loved to run. I ran track in school. I played football, and I just ran everywhere I went. I just loved to run. Well, you lose that desire, and yet in the race that we run as Christians, the race is never over until we draw that last breath. As I mentioned a moment ago in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." The problem with the church today in general, when I say the church, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, is you've got too many people who have become part of the team, if you will, through trusting Christ as their Savior, but they sit out on the sideline and want to do nothing. You know, there's a lot of people that they want to benefit from the work of the ministry, or from the ministry itself, or from all that we have in Christ, but they don't want to do anything to contribute to that. Well, Paul says that we are in a race. And that race, the participant should be all that are in Christ Jesus. Know ye not that they which run a race run all? We all need to be in that race. We need to be focused on what we can do for Christ's sake. And what you do as a member of the body of Christ is not necessarily what somebody else can do. We all have functions that we can perform that will be a benefit to the body of Christ as well as to the local church. And so we need to, number one, realize that God didn't just save us to sit down. We, phrase I used to use, or I heard when I was a boy in the church I went to, was that a lot of people are, you know, they get saved and they sit down and they're sitting on their stool of do nothing singing, "I shall not be moved." And they're just going to do nothing. Well, there's plenty that needs to be done. So there's the participants, and those participants, they need to, number one, when you get saved, you're in the race, but then there needs to be some preparation. Those participants need to prepare. Look back in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I read a quote this past week somebody sent me in an email, and it was made by a very famous football coach. And he said, the secret to success is not the desire to win. The secret of success is the desire to prepare to win. You see, all the athletes out there want to win. But the question is, are you willing to pay the cost? Are they, an athlete, he's confronted with a rigorous training. I am fascinated as I listen to those profiles and the interviews of those athletes at the Olympics, and the absolute dedication that it takes, and the hour after hour after hour that they put into the work to prepare. I remember when I played football, that we started practice in August. I drive by those fields now and I look out there and I say, how is it those guys can even stand that? But I guess I did. But you know what? They're out there because of the preparation. Well, thank God we don't have to get out in the sun to prepare. Ours is not a physical preparation. It's a mental and spiritual preparation. And the key to that is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The first word of the verse says, study. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes 12:12, the only other place study is mentioned in the Bible, it says, study is a weariness to the flesh. And you know, I can identify with that. Study is a weariness to the flesh. And yet, if we are going to be able ministers of Jesus Christ, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to study so that we might have the Word of God and the doctrine of His grace and so forth hidden in our hearts, so that we might be able to open our mouth and make known to other people the truth of the gospel and the truth of the doctrine that we operate under today. So the participants need to prepare. And the preparation is study. Why is that? He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. All are in the race, but not all receive the prize. You see, there's going to be a lot of people when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which is just for the church, the body of Christ, not the lost people. It's a judgment of our work, and it's going to be tried of what sort it is. And the Bible says some, it's going to be gold, silver, precious stone. Others' work is going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Well, obviously, the gold and silver and precious stone would be that which would be according to God's word and God's will. The wood, hay, and stubble is that which is done in our flesh that is contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the will of God, and it's things that people might do that simply they're gratifying to the flesh, but they have no spiritual or eternal value. So that we might operate according to the rules, God wrote down the rules. As a matter of fact, there in 2 Timothy, where I was reading a moment ago, verse 7 is where I stopped. He said there, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know, people that today, you try to show the truth about the importance of rightly dividing the word so that we might walk according to the doctrine given to us, and they laugh at that, and they mock and say you put too much emphasis on Paul, and you've thrown away the rest of the Bible, and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a sad day someday when people realize that had they considered what Paul said, they would have been able to run the race lawfully and they would have received the reward, whereas they decided they were going to do it their way. Well, listen, folks, there's our way and there's God's way. And God's way is always the right way. It's not the way that seemeth right most of the time, and it's not even the way that feeleth right. But it is right according to the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Years ago, back in the 70s, whenever I started attending church here, we had a bus. We had a bus ministry. So it was called, and me and Doug, different ones, we went around and knocked on doors and we got kids to ride the bus. I even drove the bus one Sunday. And the first time I ever drove it, I ran it in a ditch. And they wouldn't let me drive it anymore. And you know, there was nothing wrong with that. That was a good ministry. But you know what it evolved into in Chattanooga? It evolved into competition. Who could get the most on their bus? And so we'd go on Sunday morning to pick up kids. They'd be standing out there in the yard. Never will forget. I'd ride sometime with them to pick up the kids and, you know, be sure they got on the bus safely and everything. And you'd open the bus door and they'd say, well, we're not riding your bus today. Really? You told me yesterday you wanted to go to Sunday school. Yeah, but down there they're giving away yo-yos and kites today. What are y'all giving away? And so as I look back on it and I think about that, there's always been this man-made effort to do things to try to help God accomplish His purpose. Now, there's some physical things that we ought to do, obviously, folks, but the most important thing is that we understand and we consider what Paul says and understand that gimmicks and gadgets and our abilities are not the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, like we heard in Sunday school this morning. It is the gospel proclamation. And a lot of times when we simply preach the gospel to people and just shut up, and we don't see any results, that's difficult. Because we live in a results-oriented society, don't we? Everything is about results. Everything's about accomplishment. And so it's hard to just sit back and proclaim the gospel to people and believe that God is able to use that. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They'd invited somebody to the conference that Brother Jack was having, and he told me to apologize to you folks that he didn't get the word out. He had what they call a little mini conference down in Arab, Alabama. They've got a church down there now, a very nice building. And so Dave Zimmerman told me about it. And to be honest, they didn't have room for a whole lot of people. But what Jack wanted to do was give the young preachers, not young in years necessarily, but hadn't been preaching long, an opportunity to preach. And so he had basically all new preachers. It was a great day. I enjoyed it very much. But as they were there preaching, and as we were doing that, I thought about, you know, you look at 25, 35 people, it's just, it looks like a total failure many times, what we try to do. But we run a race, and we're in the race. And we do it for Christ's sake. The fact is that we're to do it God's way. And as we do that, it might not seem like we're accomplishing anything. But remember what Paul said? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. So we preach the word, where it's an in season, out of season. We reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. We stand for the truth of the word of God, and we make it known to people. And this man I was talking to yesterday at Jack's, he was telling me about having invited a man over there. Man sitting on the back row there next to me, and as we got through, he left after lunch, and the gentleman said, "Well, don't look like that accomplished much." I said, "You never know." You see, I said, "Remember, the Bible says one plants and another waters, and God gives the increase." You never know, folks, when the words that you share with somebody are going to have an impact on their life somewhere down the road. And I know it's hard to be patient. It's hard not to get wrapped up in results. But that's not what it's about. It's about us doing our part. As a matter of fact, one of the things, when you're running a race, particularly if you're running like a 100-yard dash or 100-meter dash or whatever, one of the things that the coaches always drill in, or even swimming, is don't look at the competition. Keep your eyes focused on the goal, on the finish line. Don't look at the competition, because as sure as you do, it's going to distract you, and it's going to get you off course. Jeffrey, that youngin' is just like you were. When Jeffrey was a baby, he would be quiet as a church mouse. Through the announcements, through the singing, through everything. And as soon as I started preaching, buddy, he just started going wide open. I think he thought what he had to say was more important than me. Couldn't help but think about that when the baby was making a little noise there. We're in a race, folks. The participants should be all the same. The purpose is for the prize of the high calling. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Remember, there are obstacles, there's perils along the way. It's one thing to run a race where there's just a straight course. It's another one when you start running an obstacle course. And the more obstacles, the more difficult it becomes. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark," notice, "for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul knew there was a prize. He knew there was a reward. Look over in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, then verse 18. Paul gives some very direct, specific instructions in relation to wives, husbands, children, and servants here in Colossians chapter 3. And he says there in verse 17, Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now, whatsoever you do will include the things that are going to follow in the next verses. Notice what he says in verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, all those things have a very specific application and meaning, but you know one thing they tell us? They tell us that God is concerned about what we do. Paul said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But notice what he says in verse 23. And whatsoever you do, whether it's submitting yourself to your own husbands or loving your wives or being the right kind of parent, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now that's a very important concept and a very important verse. Because if what you're doing for men, when men quit rewarding you, then you're going to quit doing it. You understand? If what you're doing for the reward of men, when the reward stops, then you're going to stop. But if what you're doing for Christ's sake, knowing that of the Lord you're going to receive a reward, then it won't matter what men do. It'll only matter that you do what God has told you to do. And notice what he says. Verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord we shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, I don't believe that he's saying there that the inheritance is the reward. There's the reward of the inheritance. The reward we read about back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. That's what the work are. Those that survive, they show up as a crown. We'll look at that moment if we have time. Verse 25. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. What does he receive? He receives loss, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the participants are all. Every person that's saved ought to be in the race. The purpose is to glorify and honor the one who bought us and purchased us. The preparation is by the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then the perils or the obstacles that we face. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says there in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, running with patience almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? And yet, to make an application of that, the race that we run as members of the body of Christ is also a race that has to be run with patience, perseverance, persistence. Why, how is that? Well, you know, in racing, there's two different kinds of race. There's the sprint, then there's the long distance, cross country. And anytime you watch a cross country race or a lengthy race, they'll talk about the runner or the athlete in swimming or whatever it might be, pacing themselves. You see, folks, we need to be in this for the long haul. We need to understand that the race that we're in is not a sprint. Unfortunately, some people make it that and they're in the race for a short time and then they're done. But the race that we're involved in, the ministry we're involved in, has to do with doing what we're doing for Christ's sake as long as we can possibly do it and possibly function. There's no time to quit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, this glorious gospel of the grace of God. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Let's look at these verses again. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. So it tells us some things about the athlete. He's temperate. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That is the approval of man, the reward of mankind. And so they do obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, if you go back and look earlier in the chapter, you'll see what Paul is talking about. Because he says in this chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. You see, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. It's interesting that people always want to quote that first part of the verse. All things are lawful for me. We got that down. But he goes on to say, but all things are not expedient. You know what the word expedient means? It means to be the better for. There are some things that we as saved people just ought not to be involved in. It's not expedient. It's no benefit. It doesn't build up. It doesn't edify. I'm not going to stand up here and give you a list of do's and don'ts. That's not the point. The point is, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me. And when he gets down to 1 Corinthians 9, he tells us why he did certain things. Notice there in verse 20 he says, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Yeah, I don't know if you remember or not, but over in Acts 21, there was a situation where Paul went down to Jerusalem, and they accused Paul of preaching against the law and so forth, and they told him, they said, to show that they're those people that are wrong, we want you to go in and take a vow with these men. And Paul did that. And so the debate has raged for years. Well, was Paul out of God's will in doing that? Whatever Paul did during the book of Acts is justified on the basis of what he says right here. Unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. You know why that won't work for you? Because not anybody under the law today. The law was taken out of the way. But in Paul's day there were Jews who were law keepers. Verse 21, to them that are without law is without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23 is the key, and this I do for the gospel's sake. You see, folks, that's what the race is all about. It's proclaiming that wonderful and glorious truth of the gospel. And it's running the race with patience, not dropping out, not quitting. It's staying steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so over there in verse 20, when Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Paul refused to do some things around certain people. And Paul did some other things around other people. In other words, he brought his flesh into subjection, lest by any means, when he had preached to others, he himself should be a castaway. No doubt a reference back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in receiving that reward. Not losing his salvation, losing his reward. We all are in the race. We so run that we may obtain that incorruptible crown that crown of righteousness that Paul talks about. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy. You know, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, "You are my joy and my crown." I imagine that when we get to eternity and we stand before that judgment seat of Christ and our work is made manifest, that what we're going to realize is it was all about people. It's not about buildings. It's not about physical things. It's the ministry of reaching souls, of reaching people with the truth of the gospel of Christ and with the word rightly divided. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." Notice this terminology here. "I have finished my course." Paul had a course. In Acts chapter 20, he said, "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." A course indicates a race, a path that he's to follow. And at the end of Paul's life, he was able to look back over that course and he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." In Paul's case, it was a rough course. It was filled with obstacles. It was filled with resistance. Read Romans through Philemon and read all the things that Paul said. When he's writing to the Romans, he said, "I would have come to you time and again, but Satan hindered me." He said, "I wanted to come down there so I might impart to you some spiritual gift." To the Corinthians, he wrote and said, "I was beat. I was shipwrecked. I was a day and a night in the deep." He went through all the perils and so forth. And yet he said, "Our light afflictions are but for a moment." Paul faced great resistance, great obstacles, and yet, in light of all of that, sitting in jail, Paul wrote, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Will you be able to say the same thing? Henceforth, in other words, because of that, "henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Now, Paul's not being boastful. Paul's not being proud. He said, there's a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, notice, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." He goes on to mention some people that weren't quite like him. Notice what he said in verse 9. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." You see, there's a lot of Demases of this world, having forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. Paul said, "I count not my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy." If your life and your activity and the things of our flesh are more important to us, and we count them more dear to us than that which Christ has told us to do in His Word, then we're not going to finish our course. We might finish it, but it won't be with joy. And the joy that Paul had was he was able to say, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." We're all in a race, folks. We're all participants. Sure, there's perils. There's preparation. There's the persistence, the perseverance. But also there's the prize. The prize of the high calling. The reward of one day standing before our Savior. And in my mind, man, I can prove this out by the Scripture, but in my mind, I personally believe that any kind of reward that we receive will be only for bringing glory to the one that bought us. And it'll be to His honor and His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He's made us accepted in the blood. Are you in the race? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior? He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day so that we might have eternal life. The first step to get in the race is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. By one Spirit, then you're baptized in the body of Christ. And the race is on. Run the race with patience and do it for Christ's sake. Because if for no other reason, that's what we're told to do. That's what we're instructed to do. And that's what God desires for us to do. Would you stand me for prayer?